Well, hello there, and welcome once again to another installment of the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, which is our hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee. We're on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center, and we open up this car wash so that we can find a unique and alternative way of getting verse-by-verse Bible teachings out into the public without having to actually go into the four walls of the church. And we made them available so that you can get them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We post them here on the on 107.1 FM, these messages for the week. They play on a loop. So if you come into the parking lot or you come to get your car washed, you can flip to 107.1 FM and you can hear these messages. We also air them Monday through Friday, WMCH 1260 AM radio. Those come on at 8:30 AM. And you can go to the washandword.com website and listen to all of our archive messages, as well as finding out more information about the business and about the ministry. So let us pick back up again, speaking of ministry, and as a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, we pick up where we left off, and we finished the first 11 verses. Solomon has just finished a period there where he was contrasting different things within life. And for those of you familiar with chapter 3, it's that part of scripture where he says there's a time for everything. He starts off saying a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal. And he goes on and on with these opposite ideas. And all this to get us to understand that God not only is in control of what happens in our lives, but it's never at random. And even though he's in control of everything, sometimes we think that, you know, he's in control, but, and we believe that, but, and I trust him, but, and we keep adding these buts. We don't have to know what God is up to all the time, but we do know that God does not allow things to happen to us without purpose. And if you're going through something or you've been through something and you've yet to see the purpose of the trial or whatever it was God put you through, it's not because God hasn't revealed it to you. It's probably because you haven't learned the lesson that God's trying to teach. In fact, sometimes it's almost impossible to determine sometimes what God is doing. In fact, he writes that in the latter part of verse 11 where he says, "Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end." And God has set eternity in the hearts of men. That is that there is a longing to understand wisdom, a longing to understand understanding. And the problem with the quest for knowledge, as Solomon is experiencing and experimenting with here, I should say, is that the more knowledge that we gain, well, the more that we have to know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with knowledge. Obviously, we have to continue moving in progress and moving forward in life. And the more knowledge we gain, the I don't want to use the word better because, you know, honestly, is life really better right now with all of the new inventions that we've come up with over the last maybe 50 years? Is life really better with the invent of the internet? Well, in some ways, of course. But, you know, you think back to a much more simple time, and I don't know, to say one period of time is better than another is, you know, it's a statement that's left to the opinion of individuals. But nevertheless, the more knowledge we gain, the more we tend to have to know. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall now know fully, even as I am fully known." And what Paul's talking about there is that, you know, we are on a limited need-to-know basis down here on earth. That is that what we see is but a poor reflection of a mirror. And back then, they didn't have the kind of mirrors we have today. They reflected, but they were never as clear as the mirrors we have today. And we shall see face-to-face, and we shall know all things. We shall be fully known, and we shall know fully. And the reason he's making this up is that he's trying to get his readers to understand that, unlike Solomon, it's meaningless to chase after the answers to the things that Solomon is seeking, and some of the things that you and I have sought after in our lives. We have to realize that there are parts of our life, there are parts of our brain and our hearts that will not fully get that which we seek. But there is one thing that is in everybody, and God says that in verse 11 when he says that he has put eternity in our hearts. So we have that hope and it's not a hope that we hope we get there. It's a hope of knowing that we will one day be in eternity. And from there, we shall know what it is we've been seeking all that time. You think about they say faith like a child or a child like faith. And what does a child who's in the arms of his father do? He trusts completely. You know, a toddler in the arms of his father is not worried about anything. He's trusting explicitly in the father's protection and love. And that's what God is trying to do for us. Get us into the lap of Jesus. And forgive the analogy, but in a sense, you know, Jesus is a divine Santa Claus, not in the sense that we ask for things like Santa, but what I'm saying is, you know, what do? As a child, you climb onto Santa's lap and you put forth the things that you want. Well, God is trying to get us to crawl into Jesus's lap, and not just to ask him things, but to feel what eternity in our hearts feels like, because the closer we draw to Jesus, that rest that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 11, the more that comes to life, the more relaxed, the more of the worries we can release and the burdens that we can lay upon him. Jesus said to take his yoke upon him, and his burdens are light. And so this is the purpose of the things that you're going through that you can't understand. It's to draw you back into the arms of Christ. Solomon continues, verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all of his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Let's stop right there, because that pretty much sums up what I was just talking about. And Solomon figured this out finally. I mean, he's got a ways to go, but the conclusion he draws from the contrasts of the beginning part of chapter 3, well, he's well on his way to a deeper understanding of God, even if it's an understanding of not understanding. You know what I mean? We come to that point where, you know what, I'm not going to understand this, but I'm still going to trust God, and that I understand. So an understanding of not being able to understand. Now, you have to remember something, too, that we got to be reminded. You know, what does he say here? I know there is nothing better for men to do than to be happy and do good while they live and eat and drink and find satisfaction. Listen, God isn't against you and I having some fun. He isn't against us enjoying life and laughter and being merry. And you know, God intended a lot of great things in this life of ours to be intended for pleasure. And if you don't think that there's an intention of pleasure from the heart of God to the heart of man, read Song of Solomon, and you'll see that God has pleasure in mind for us. That's the point is that God isn't against pleasure and joy, but it is intended to be experienced through God, not devoid of God. And that is where a lot of people fall off the ledge, as it were. We seek after these enjoyable things, but we do it apart from God. But God says, no, in me, you can experience this kind of joy. I mean, think about the things that you enjoy most. Think about those things as you experience them through and for God. That is what he said at the end of chapter, or verse 14. He says, God does this so that men will revere him. When you serve God in reverence of him, what does it do? It enhances the work that you are doing. And so I asked my worship leader one time, I said, "Hey, Bob, what's the difference between playing guitar and doing worship on Sunday morning?" And he gave this, you know, he gave the right answer. And that's just the point. You can play guitar or you can play guitar for God. And there's a big difference when you do something out of reverence for him. And this is what Solomon is trying to get us to understand, that pleasure is okay when we do it in and through and for the glory of God. Verse 15 says, "Whatever has already been and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account." That's an interesting verse right there. God will call the past to account. I think this kind of explains why lessons in life are often repeated. Why God calls up the past is for us to reflect and to correct. When Paul says that he learned the secret of being content, I think this is what he found. He found that the past was a springboard towards the future. He found that God is patient with us slow learners, and that he intends for us to enjoy life through the reverence of him. In fact, it's really the only way to truly enjoy life and have true joy is through God. And so Solomon continues here, verse 16. "And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. I also thought, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Man's fate is like that of the one." I'm sorry. "Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all will return. Who knows if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth?" Let's stop right there. So in the beginning of that, we want to understand something. God is just. Man is not. And corruption abounds at the right price in the hands of men. And so Solomon says, what comfort do we have? All injustice will be corrected, but when? Well, really, what difference does it make? Again, this is about having childlike faith that God will work all these things out in the end. 1 Peter 2:20 says, "How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for good and endure it, this is commendable before God." And before we get too high on our horse, Solomon is quick to point out that there is a beast-like behavior in all of us, that we all have the capacity to act like animals in desperate situations. The fact is that in Christ alone, we convert that beast-like behavior into Christ-like behavior. And the flesh is animalistic in nature. But what he's saying is the conclusion of it all is we all end up in the grave. So what is the difference between animal and man? Well, there's where the eternity in our hearts comes into play. And the conclusion of the matter at hand is simply this. There is more at the end. All of the living pleasures are meant to be just that. Pleasures for the enjoyment in the present. To live in the past and long for the future is to miss the present. But in the end, all the joy of living, all the injustice, all of it is meaningless because in the end, God takes care of everything. So enjoy what you have today. But there is more. In verse 22, and this is the last verse of the chapter, "And so I saw that there is nothing better for man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him?" And friends, it saddens me at the sheer staggering number of people who hate life, who are miserable and cynical and cold and bitter. And here's the only application point that I brought up in the entire chapter 3. And here it is. The farther away from God we go in search of meaning, the more meaningless life becomes. The farther away from God that we go in search of meaning, the more meaningless life becomes. Friends, find your meaning in Christ alone. Well, I invite you again to come by the Wash and Word, or go to washandword.com. For more information about this business or this ministry, you have a blessed day.